This is Mary Jane, and I'm in Soma with some of the members of May.
Hi, I'm Rob. I play keyboards.
I am Jacob. I play drums.
Light starts in a dark place. The story of a car chase. And I've become a criminal. And fleeing from this scene. And being caught in a bad dream.
So the first thing I want to know is if you guys wouldn't mind giving a brief history of how the band got started and what it's been up till this point.
We started really as a studio project back in 01 or actually, the year 0.
Yeah, the year 0.
Back in 2000, had some musical ideas, and Dave, our singer, and I had a long talk on the millennial new year. Actually, it was funny, that was kind of when we first met, really, and spent time hanging out talking about music. And our bass player Mark had a studio back home and wanted to have us in to record, and this was before he was our bass player or anything. And Rob lived next door to me, and so on our very first song, I mean, we had played together in the past and figured it would make sense to have some keyboards, and he's my favorite keyboardist ever, so it made sense. And it just kind of came together, and we gelled so well musically, and you know, personally, it just grew out of that. And so put some songs up online, and kind of got some feedback from a label and a couple of different labels, and ended up doing a deal with Tooth & Nail Records, and they put out the record, and we bought a van and trailer and started touring back in, was it
probably 02.
Late summer, early fall of 02 is kind of our first tour, and we've literally just been going ever since, so. And here we are in Soma talking to you 5 years later.
Okay, I read that May is an acronym for multi-sensory aesthetic experience.
Very good.
How does the name of your band reflect the music that you guys are writing?
That's a great question. That whole concept or term grew out of a study I did in college on the relationship between our senses, how they perceive information, specifically artistic information, and the feeling or the emotional response that we have when we experience art that we like. And so was kind of interested in a sense, translating art from one sense to another based on the human response. And and really, I guess, the way that the music serves that, in a sense, is kind of the foundation for an experience, you know? Visual arts, usually, like paintings and things like that, are a frozen moment of time. So you can kind of engage the work and experience it all at once, and music is different than that. It's a, you know, series of sound waves over time, and so there's obviously different kinds of things that you can do with each medium, and so we really wanted to explore how you could combine sensory input, I guess, to create a better artistic experience. And really, I guess, visually, what we're trying to do is extend the meaning of the music and accentuate moments within that, and just kind of hopefully immerse people inside of the moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, are either of you into other artistic expressions outside of music?
Well, I think a certain element of, you know, I mean, as simple as it is, like, you know, writing, you know? And then for me personally, I actually enjoy drawing a little bit, mm-hmm. You know? It's another way of expressing myself, but definitely, like, I find, like, you know, like, just in our everyday, like, journal writing, which I don't know if that's really, like, some, it's an expression, I wouldn't say necessarily an art form, but, you know, in drawing and things like that, I think that's actually pretty, pretty fun.
Yeah, and I think more than anything, we're students, and appreciators, and the more that we study and the more that we try to learn, it just kind of enhances, I guess, your understanding of how what it is that we're doing fits into a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, since we're talking about, like, artistic influences, I know this question is really cliche, but now I'm interested. Who are you guys influenced by?
Oh, man, it's such a, you know, I'm sure a standard list in some respects and a very weird, eccentric list in other respects. But, you know, musically, both Rob and I kind of grew up listening to classical stuff quite a bit. My grandparents were both lifelong classical composers and performers. Then my dad played in a kind of like a hippie Christian rock band before there was a Christian music industry, and so I grew up kind of in that world. And then, of course, like growing up in the 90s, really discovering music like Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and Rage Against the Machine and all those types of bands. And I don't know, we love anything that captures kind of that intangible quality that moves you, and it's kind of hard to put your finger on. But and then again, like, kind of extending that list of inspiration to directors and films and books and visual art and whatnot as well. Just trying to be influenced by as much as possible.
I mean, the list is so broad. I mean, I don't know if we can, you know, cover it all, but like Jacob said, like, classically, I mean, just like the certain types of music that I actually enjoy, and I kind of got raised on classical, and I enjoyed like all the big guys like Beethoven, Bach, and Mozart, some of my favorite composers to listen to even now before I go to sleep at night, and jazz, and then, you know, all the quintessential rock bands that do their best to make us move, you know. And for me, that's for us, I think we've always said as a band, it's always been the Beatles, the Police, and U2. And that for me individually is the case, but also like other bands, like I've been listening to a lot of the Smashing Pumpkins, and just like the way that they can make me move with their rock anthems, you know. There's such a beauty in the aggression, and that's something that I really appreciate.
So throw a stone through these reflections, scatter light in all directions, and sing this song.
Have been on the road promoting your latest album, Singularity. I'm wondering, what's the most exciting place or thing that you've seen in the States while you've been touring?
Wow, that's a... I think the thing that caught us by surprise the most was we played in San Antonio. Was that 3 nights ago?
Yep.
Yeah, we hadn't been there in probably a year and a half or 2 years, and didn't really know what to expect, and just so blown away by the energy and the just the feeling in the room that night.
Oh, and the appreciation.
Yeah, exactly. You know. It was so cool. And then we hopped on a plane at 6 that morning. We didn't really get to sleep, and flew out to Los Angeles to play
USC.
Yeah, USC's kind of welcome back weekend, and I guess there were about 5,000 people out for that, and that was kind of unexpected too. You know, you just never know how something like that's going to go, but just have two kind of moments as different and yet kind of similar at the same time was really cool.
I think the fascinating thing about like this profession is that it kind of, the more that we travel both across the nation and, you know, overseas, we've been in Japan 3 times and UK once, you know, I can only imagine what it's like for like all the bands that have like made it successfully worldwide, you know, to the point where they're just traveling all across the world. It just, but even to, I can imagine that the world starts to become a little bit on a smaller, it becomes smaller at that point, because everybody is listening to your music. And for us, we're, it just seems like, you know, as we travel the nation, there's just like certain spots that we just keep coming back to, like coffee shops and bookstores and like different places to go that we always just know are going to be there when we get there. And it's just a real fascinating way to make a living.
It makes the whole country feel like home. You know, and that's just a byproduct, I guess, of having been doing it for
5 years.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, that's pretty unique.
Yeah.
I feel that
way. Man, it is. It's so cool. And that's one of my favorite parts, too, is we kind of do a version of the same thing every night, you know? And it changes somewhat, but the thing that changes every night is the people that fill the room. And you know, a crowd takes on such a unique characteristic, you know, depending on the city and what's going on culturally in the city, or, you know, it's just kind of an emotion that comes out of that. And, you know, there's certain nights that, for whatever reason, everything just comes together and you should never forget it.
Yeah, and it's that interconnectedness that with the crowd that is just extremely overwhelming and just awesome to experience, like, on a nightly basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you guys said, you've played Japan a couple of times, and I feel like Japan is sort of this milestone when artists are allowed to play there and they're, I guess, well-received. So what's your experience been like playing there, since it's so culturally different from the States?
Yeah, it is culturally different, but at the same time, there are strange similarities. The first time we ever went, we didn't even have a record out over there, so we just had fans from the Internet. And the Internet, I guess, has done a lot of things, you know, positive and negative, and I'm sure there's arguments on both sides. But the thing that it's done for us, you know, besides all the digital downloading and everything else, is it's really gotten our music out there. And we get a lot of messages via MySpace or via the website from people all over the world. And one of the first places that we kind of noticed a concentration was actually in Japan. And so when we went over, we didn't know what to expect, really. And, you know, it would have probably been better if we did have a record out, but it kind of almost didn't matter at the same time. Like, the shows were well attended in the big cities, and, you know, moderately attended in the smaller cities. But each time, you're just kind of surprised that people come, you know. And we've been back 3 times. We just went over and played a festival called Fuji Rock with The Cure and
Muse
and The Shins and all of these bands that we look up to. And it was so cool to be a part of something like that.
I think it's on both counts, you know, like just playing overseas. I know that in, like, Japan, or not both counts, but both, like, the countries that we've been to, like, it just seems to me, like, on a worldwide scale, that there seems to be some sort of appreciation or an openness to, like, new music that is kind of missing here. There seems to be somewhat of a tiny bit of a snobbery, I think, amongst the music listeners that are here in the States, you know, with respect to, it's like almost you feel like you have a lot to prove to win their attention, you know, whereas, like, over there, it's like you still have, of course you have to play good music, and you have to, like, be you have to want to do what it is that you're doing and have people sense that you enjoy what you do. But it's like they're open to receiving anything that's new. They're not, like, stuck in some sort of a genre or something that they think is, like, a palatable genre. You know, they just are like, they're just there to hear good music. Mm-hmm. And so every time that we've been over there, like, overseas, like in the UK and Japan, it's just been such a great experience for us because, you know, like, for instance, in the UK, we're on tour. Well, we played Give It a Name Festival, and then we were immediately on tour with Coheed and Cambria. And, you know, their fans over here may not necessarily be into our music in the States, but, like, the fans over there in the UK, just, you know, we won so many new fans from the UK as a result of being on that tour with a band that's, you know, different than us. And I think there's just, like, an openness that people in other countries have towards just hearing great music.
To your album Singularity, what makes this one different than your past releases, and what would you tell your fans, like, why should they go listen to it?
Well, I guess the biggest difference is the progression that happens as you continuously work out what it means to be a band. And the way we look at records is like flags posted on a journey, and no single record that we've ever done really sums up our band. It's just kind of an experiment or a progression. And so this time around, I feel like we really, really explored what it meant to break down all of our expectations or thoughts about everything we thought we knew, and really kind of take a step outside of ourselves. And I guess the reason for that was, you know, having been traveling and experiencing, say, cultures like Japan and Europe and all over the United States, it just, music was kind of a vehicle that got us out of our small little bubble, you know, and exposed us to so many awesome things, and showed us, you know, quite literally the community or the bigger picture, you know, outside of just ourselves. And that influenced us in such a positive way. And so this record really, I guess, is kind of the one that digs the deepest and I think expresses and conveys the most. And part of that gets more urgent, more aggressive, and then part of it's more pensive. And I think just trying to explore, you know, new sounds and capture moments really is kind of what we try and do. And so this is another flag along the journey, and I think, you know, probably the most important one yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you guys have any behind the scenes stories while making this album you'd like to share?
I mean, we're just basically working on the record the entire time. I mean,
yeah, you go into this different kind of mode where you really do just...
We're working like 12, maybe 14 hours a day, you know, so all of us are, even if we're not doing our specific part that day, we're still there creating and being a part of the whole creative process. So it's like, once, you know, the behind the stories or the behind the scenes stories are just basically us working our asses off to like get this record finished. And I mean, we would go longboarding. That's something that really kept us sane. We lived at Sunset and Vine apartments or condominiums, right there in Sunset and Vine. And Jacob and I, you know, just for some time away from things and from like the whole project, would just like skate our from the sixth floor all the way down to the bottom, like often.
We made people nervous by almost hitting their cars.
Well, they made me nervous
by almost hitting our bodies.
But I mean, yeah, stuff like that was extremely fun, you know. But I mean, we were definitely, you know, delving into our work, so yeah, nothing too crazy went on.
Well, non-music related, but do you guys have any odd phobias?
I'm an agoraphobic, and I'm afraid of everything. So, no, I'm just kidding.
Dying in your sleep on the bus. There was, on our last tour, our driver actually hit another bus.
Oh,
that's the single worst feeling you'll ever have is waking up feeling yourself out of control, but being, you know, no seatbelt, obviously, while you're laying in a small little bunk, and it's pitch black, and you have no idea if you're going off a cliff or, you know, what's coming up. And that was terrible. So I've developed
a
fear of traveling, which is bad in this
line
of work.
In a bus, at least. I mean, that's so true. It's like, that's why whenever you're in a bus, I'm sure everybody already knows this, but always sleep with your feet facing the front.
Exactly.
So you don't break your neck if something happens.
Well, that's good to know. I never thought of that.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, what's the most bizarre thing you guys have done on stage?
On stage? Have you heard of the band Cattle Decapitation?
No.
They play here a lot, I guess. We learned from our waiter yesterday. But we wanted to get the body of a cow and take a chainsaw to it and just absolutely destroy this as a work of art. But then we figured,
I have no idea what's going on right now. I was not a party to that discussion whatsoever, so this is a surprise to me.
To me too. I don't know. We're we're not a band that does a whole lot of theatrics necessarily. Mm-hmm. So we don't really hang from rafters. And
Mark's done some bizarre stuff.
Yeah, but Mark peed on stage one time, and that's not a joke, but he had to go really bad in the middle of a set and
just got
went behind
his
bass and
bass cab.
Peed into a bottle.
Yeah.
Which is
so
impressive.
There you go.
So yeah, that's
that's going to make the podcast, and that, I don't know what to think about that.
Can either of you tie the stem of a cherry in a knot with your tongue?
Have I done that?
Yes, I have done that.
I think I may have done that once. Once. Uh-huh. I don't know if I can do it again. Interesting question, though. Thanks.
I know. I just thought of it because I tried it recently, and I, like, choked. So like, it's hard.
Difficult, yeah.
Is there anything in the band's history that you guys would consider going back and changing?
Of course, but at the same time, those are literally the experiences that give us, you know, our understanding of how things work. And fortunately, nothing has happened in our history that has made it impossible for us to continue. But, like, even something like signing a deal with Capitol, you know, was a huge, I guess, turning point in some respects. You always hear these horror stories about labels shifting around and changing and everything, and, you know, that kept us from wanting to sign with a major for a long time, but we finally found a team of people that we were really excited to work with, and who had kind of been following us in a part of our career for a while, since the beginning, and they had just signed a 5-year contract, so they were all going to be working and everything. And so we made the record, and we're getting the record mixed, and on the day that it got finished being mixed, we got a call from our manager saying that they had all been let go, and there's a giant restructuring happening, and, you know, it's kind of like being thrown in a washing machine. You don't know where you're at, and, you know, everything that was supposedly stable all of a sudden was not stable, and, you know, it's taken a while for the dust to settle, and it definitely caused a delay in the record coming out and things like that, but at the end of the day, you know, you build new relationships and you put the record on, you move forward. And there's nothing you can really do to go back and change it. And if you get stuck thinking about that, then you miss out on what's coming up in front of you. And so we try to take that approach.
Okay, well, in 20 years, when people hear the band name May or your music, what will they think?
I hope that they'll think back and I guess remember experiencing something that made them appreciate life a little bit differently, and maybe a little bit deeper, or made them think about things from a different perspective. And in the same way that this band has done that for us, you know, the act of creating something from nothing with four other people for years and years has just changed me, and it's showed me that so much more is possible than I thought, and it's allowed me to appreciate and experience so many different perspectives and different details, I guess, that I would have missed if I was just kind of walking through it by myself. And that's all we ever really want to show other people, is, you know, just the mystery that we exist inside of, just by being human beings and being alive. And there's a richness to that that we want to preserve, I guess, in what we're creating, that we hope people will always look back and remember and appreciate.
I agree. 20 years from now, though, it'll be 2027. And according to the Mayan calendar, everything as we know it is supposed to end in 2012. So yeah. I'm not quite sure that there will be anybody who will be talking about May whatsoever. So I'm just kidding. But I am in full agreement with
pessimistic.
So let's end the interview with that. No. I concur with everything Jacob says, so you can edit all that. I just thought it was kind of funny.
Okay, well, I always end my interviews with the same three questions, so I'm just gonna ask you guys these. Do you have any slang terms that you overuse?
Well, I use the word amazing a whole lot, apparently.
Amazing and exactly.
Exactly. It's amazing.
I think I just say,
but that's,
I'm like
those
the oldest.
Slang, though.
It's not slang. Yeah. You're right. But I'm like, I'm the oldest guy in the band, and I say dude and man a lot, and it kind of annoys me after a while, because I'm just like, Dude. Seriously. I'm like, dude, you know, sometimes, dude to me sometimes is like a sentence or like a question, you know? It's like, I may not articulate the question, I'll just say, dude, seriously, you know? And then you're supposed to kind of like, just based on the context of the situation or the circumstance, like...
Based on living together.
Yeah, based on living together in a van or a bus for 5 years, after I just said that, you're supposed to put together what I'm trying to tell you, so...
And we know.
It's weird, yeah. So anyways, that's about it, I think, for that.
Okay.
Question two.
What's your drink of choice?
Ooh, gin and tonic.
Tanqueray and tonic. I like wine. There's Shiraz is probably my favorite, and of course then you go with anything else, Pinot Noirs and Cabernet Sauvignons.
He is a wine connoisseur.
I wouldn't say that because anybody at like anybody at Taste Unlimited or like wine Total Wine would just ask me a question. I'd be like, I don't know. Tannins, berries, and no one ever really knows. I just enjoy wine.
Whatever gets me wasted.
No, that's it. So that's it.
Okay, and how do you guys feel about eyeliner?
Guy-liner?
Oh, do you mean guy liner? Yes.
Or eyeliner.
Seriously, guy liner. It's essential whenever playing a show. I think eyeliner for ladies are amazing, but that's about it.
Do you guys have anything you'd like to say to fans listening as a closing note?
Thank you for your support for all these years, and we really appreciate you. Couldn't be doing this without you, and you're one of the reasons why we are doing it. And if you haven't already received our record or gone out and got our record, Record Singularity is out in stores now everywhere and on iTunes, so feel free to pick that up.
And come hang out and see us at a show.
In the worst way, we made our share of mistakes. Like a